This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has declared a state of emergency in California as the state confronts the latest storm system. CBS's Steve Futterman is there.
In many parts of Northern California, they are stacking sandbags. Last week, the concern was snow. This week, it's rain and floods. The rain is already coming down, and it's melting snow. That combination is what worries officials.
Flooding is imminent. Please evacuate your residents now.
Residents who are staying are trying their best to get ready.
We have our solar-powered lamps ready.
In some areas, the rains are forecast to continue into next week. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
President Biden is responding to the latest jobs report, which showed more than 300,000 positions were added last month. Here's CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The president calls it a good jobs report, but investors worry it will lead the Federal Reserve to increase interest rates at a faster clip. The next report on consumer prices is due next Tuesday. Mr. Biden says he hopes it will show inflation to be in solid shape.
I feel confident that we're headed in the right direction.
Asked about budget proposals House Republicans are beginning to offer, Mr. Biden said one GOP plan would result in drastic federal cuts to police, firefighters, and health care.
I don't know. We just have a very different value set.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Sexual assaults are up at military academies nationwide. CBS's Cammie McCormick has that story.
One in five females say they experienced unwanted sexual contact. This report shows an 18% jump in assaults over the previous year. The Navy in particular showed nearly double the number. The student survey found increases in everything from touching to rape at all of the schools.
Suspected drug cartel members in Mexico have handed over five people reportedly involved in the deadly kidnapping last Friday of four Americans. Two Americans and a Mexican woman were killed when gunmen opened fire on the four U.S. citizens in the city of Matamoros. The Americans had come to Mexico for a medical procedure. We're learning more details about yesterday's mass shooting at a Jehovah's Witness meeting hall in Hamburg, Germany. CBS's Holly Williams catches us up.
German officials say the gunman had a sports shooting license to carry the pistol he used. Police also say they'd previously received an anonymous letter warning them that the shooter may have undiagnosed mental health issues.
Eight people were killed in that attack, including the shooter who killed himself.
Hello. Hello. Sorry.
Are you visitors? Priests Edward greeting crowds of people in Edinburgh today. He was named the new Duke of Edinburgh. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Home heating bills in Wisconsin are going up this winter. Experts say there are steps you can take to reduce the impact. Mike Moen has more.
The Energy Information Administration predicts that Midwest households that rely on natural gas will spend an average of $1,000 on heating bills this winter. That's a 33% increase over last year. Whitney Hayes of the energy nonprofit Elevate agrees the region will see cost headaches in the coming months.
We're expecting gas prices to continue to go up this winter because of things like the war in Ukraine, and we're still doing a lot of recovery from COVID and shipping and supply shock and whatnot. So
she advises that small things such as making sure there's air sealing around windows and doors can produce savings on your bill. And energy experts say electric heat pumps have come down in price and are now more reliable in extremely cold weather. David Collada of the Citizens Utility Board agrees that heat pumps are a strong alternative to natural gas, but he stresses they still might be out of reach for low-income households and that policymakers need to offer more incentives to make them accessible to everyone. Meanwhile, he says maximizing these options will make a difference.
And if you take advantage of this program and then you'll seal cracks in windows and maybe install energy-efficient light bulbs, all of that works together holistically.
For those worried about their heat being disconnected this winter, most Midwestern states have cold weather rules, which require utilities to offer a payment arrangement to avoid that scenario.
Budget billing programs don't save you money over the course of a year, but they smooth out your payments, so you pay less in the winter and more in the summer.
Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
It's a whole new game with the Civic Media Network and our local stations carrying coverage of Marquette men's basketball in the Big East Conference Tournament. The number one seeded Golden Eagles continue to march through with a quarterfinal win, moving on to a semifinal game this Friday at 5:30 p.m. Catch the action on WIRI 105.5 FM in the Wisconsin Rapids-Nakusa area. Brought to you by Jacoby Custom Cues. Marquette basketball in the Big East Tournament on this local Civic Media radio station, or wherever you're a fan, find WIRI on the Civic Media app.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here in the NAMI building at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodora Yauman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And speaking of suffragettes, I have a very special guest, a candidate for the 2nd District Aldermanic seat, challenging longtime incumbent Eric Payne. Waukesha, please say good morning to Bob Sal. Bob, how are you today?
Doing great.
Good, good. Now, before we get to Bob, we have another new special, well, not a guest because she'll be a permanent fixture here joining us, is Anastasia, our engineer in training, along with Calvin, who's been terrific. Good morning. So it's nice having two in the studio. And Anastasia, I know you're in great hands with Calvin. How you doing, Anastasia? Say hi real quick.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great. You've got an excellent radio voice, so that's a good start. You know, and Calvin's he's kind of shy. We have a hard time getting him on. So we'll be looking forward to more great things from Anastasia. And not that we don't love Calvin. So, but Calvin looks a lot like Warren Zevon. And I've been pushing this on my show and throughout social media. Please do the right thing, America, Waukesha. Elect Warren Zevon to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's finally been nominated. Let's do the right thing. It's vote.rockhall.com. So back here to Bob Selb. Really glad you could make it. And for those of you who don't know, Bob and his wife, Lisa, as you may recall, was on the show last year. She ran for mayor. And so they've been very active in Waukesha life. And probably what they may be most known for is they bought and they've been restoring the historic Blair House on the top of the hill there. And that's the Tower Hill neighborhood, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
That's correct. So, but Bob's been, he's been self-employed and been in business, basically kind of in the, would we say the landscaping and construction industry or home building industry? How do we describe
that?
Well,
I'm currently a sales support role for the state of Wisconsin and state of Iowa for a landscape supply company. So
sounds great. Does that require a lot of travel?
Not as much, but it'll.
A lot you know, you can do virtually.
Like now we're doing still. COVID's kind of changed the world in some of that regard. So a lot of stuff is done on.
Well, sounds great. Terrific. So let's cut right to the chase. Why do you want to be alderman?
Why do I want to be alderman? Why am I running?
Both.
Two different things.
Yeah.
I think it's two different things.
Okay.
I feel that Waukesha needs more representation from the constituents. And following social media, my wife and I being, you know, very involved with, you know, local events and, you know, happenings, stuff going on. I just see it said so many times, the city did this or the city allowed that. And I always just would get frustrated and say, we are the city. You just need to stand up and come to public comments, be involved, you know, be notified. And I just believe there needs to be a better avenue for that, to getting the public more involved so the constituents sure. know what's going down.
Sure.
And that's my game plan to do that.
That's terrific. And some of that you and Lisa have already put in place. You started a neighborhood association, correct?
We did not start it. We got involved by moving into the Blair House, and it was it was a Madison Street and then the Tower Hill District, it's called. And Lisa was involved with it first, and I kind of got further involved. Ended up getting super involved where we wanted to get a 501c3 to be able to expand and do grants and stuff. Nice. We are the most active neighborhood community within the city. But I was, helped facilitate getting the 501c3, submitting for grants and creating the, I don't know if it's known on your radio thing, but the Neighborhood Watch safety program. So I took the old Neighborhood Watch placard and turned it into like a cyber program using social media and distributing free cameras for people when they want them, and helping put a network together, building community within that. And I think it's been very successful in the Tower Hill neighborhood, which encompasses almost 400 homes within there. So,
okay. So you're not just coming in here, wet behind the ears, or like many candidates that really, like myself included, that were never really that active in city government. You and Lisa, and I know this from my time on the council, were regular attendees at city council meetings. You've given, public comment on a myriad of issues. And as you mentioned before the show, when you're not able to attend, you catch city council meetings on Granicus, which is our virtual, the live stream. And I don't know if many residents know about that, but they can do that.
It is a great tool. I think that, part of another effect of COVID, where people weren't going meeting in public, and it was kind of pushed the whole media relation to that. But basically, you can even see, watch, public comment. Actually, the news reporters used to be there in the common council meetings all the time.
Sure.
And you don't see them anymore because they're just sitting at home in, their underwear at 9 o'clock that night, watching Granicus and making notes. So it's interesting how they, they have all these quotes and everything, and they weren't there, but utilizing Granicus for it.
So. Yeah, that's a great point. So, Bob, let's pretend like we're going door to door right now. Right. What is it you're telling? What's your elevator pitch, or your front porch pitch, front door pitch when you meet a neighbor and you're giving them a flyer? Like, what is it they want them to know about you, and why you think you'll make a great elder?
Well, I my platform is like, we are the city, and I'm part of that. The constituents need to have a better voice, and that's I'll be expressing that. How are we going to do that? Just through different social media. Jumping back to some previous aldermen, I do not know of any aldermen right now that are that open and vocal in a social media environment or holding town halls. There used to be previous aldermen that would have these meetings when something, if there's an important issue that's going to affect this constituents, I feel that's that alderman's responsibility to notify them, get their, how can you sit up there in that council chambers and say, while I'm, representing my constituents, and you have no feedback from them at all, right?
That's an excellent point.
I can only speak for my current alderman. And one issue is coming up. It was just recently went around. It's a sidewalk issue. Are you aware with that at all?
I'm not.
Okay. So
I'm embarrassed to say.
Well, but the city said, hey, we need to do something to address the sidewalks and where they're missing and the cost. And they're forcing people to put sidewalks in and, some of the businesses that – they're like, why? There's no sidewalks before mine or after mine, and you're making me pay for this sidewalk. And so there was a letter that went out to all their aldermen and said, basically, get feedback from your constituents. And I'm paraphrasing that, but and then we're going to have these conversations and discussions. I've talked to like about a dozen people that I know from through church, whatever, different people within not just my district or but from other ones. And no one's aware of it. No one, no alderman that I can see has gotten feedback from their constituents to see how it would affect them. That's just one small microchasm of that.
Sure.
What I'm referring to. So.
Well, and you mentioned the meetings, and not to toot my own horn, but when I was alderman, I had meetings, even if there weren't any hot button issues, just to engage with the constituents. I'd also invite local business. I'd invite anyone from the community. And I'd also put it on the agenda, the city agenda, so that other alders could come. And the idea was just to build a more connected community. Is that part of your plan?
Well, and that's I've been doing that with the Tower Hill neighborhood for close to probably 6 of our 7 years we've been
great
at the Blair House. We've invited up to hundreds of people to come to our house. We'll get about 20 to 30, maybe, I think we've had up to 35 or something, for, you know, we call it S'mores on the Hill. Come in, you know, just
S'mores,
you
know, on the Hill. I love
built,
that.
Built, we have a fire and fire pit. You know, people come and see the, you know, the view of Waukesha from the Blair House.
Sure.
Hill. And, but being involved with that, you know, doing the different campaign stuff, we, you know, we established a yearly now picnic, just trying to get the community involved. We don't usually talk politics or religion at those, you know, events.
And you don't have to.
But it's just building sure. community. And that's our vision statement for the Tower Hill neighborhood. And when I'm putting those grants together, and now my wife has been taking over with that, but saying it's the sense of building community. I'm going to now look at building that within the constituents of this different district than what
it sounds is. Great. So we're going to take a quick pause just for some exciting local news. A lot happened this week in the world of Waukesha sports. On March 7th, which was last Tuesday, the WIAA's control board voted to approve the recommendation to move the Waukesha North and Waukesha South varsity football teams into the Parkland Conference starting in 2024. They will be playing in a much more equitable conference where the student body population, demographics, and resources are more evenly matched for fair play. Special thanks and congrats to so many who worked so hard on this campaign for the health, safety, and fair play of our student athletes, including athletic directors Carl Anderson of North, Dan Schreier of Southie, South Super Dad Jared Dable, head coach Darnell Wiltz and his staff, Jim Santel, my colleague from Morning Cannolis, that's on at 9 o'clock for his legal inputs. Earl Ingram and Kristen Bray from Civic Media for raising awareness on their respective shows. So grateful to everybody involved. And also, again, a good testament to the power of our growing mission here at Civic Media to focus on local news and raise awareness for the things that are important to us. And so, and it's a great little segue back to Bob. What are some? Are there any specific hot button issues right now that you know you've been involved in, like with watching the city council, or you mentioned the sidewalks? You know, any others that you'd want to raise awareness here on Civic Media?
Well, one that was just basically kind of finalized was the chicken ordinance, and there's another case that I totally agree that needed to be an ordinance. There has to be that type of control.
Sure,
wasn't a cookie cutter thing. It wasn't pleasant seeing some of the communication at the council level or lack thereof, and the different viewpoints. So it just didn't seem like it was, this is what the constituents want. It was more of, you know, banter between them. But
sounds
then
good.
The biggest issue that's, you know, been built and going forward is the cost of our
sounds great.
Water.
Okay. So, hey, when we continue with 2nd District Alderman and candidate Bob Salb, we're going to hear more about some of these hot-button issues that he's focusing on and are part of his campaign, and some more great news about Waukesha sports, including Carroll University. Don't go away. This Week in Waukesha continues.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 36. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Snow likely, lows level off around 29. Snow likely tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. Cloudy, 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
The last time I saw you was down at the Greeks. There was whiskey and sunburn and tears in her cheeks. You sang me a song that was pure as a breeze, and I wrote me in a glove.
Hey, we're back. This is Milwaukee Shaw, and that's me doing my best Shane McGowan in the Pogues with one of my favorite airs, the Broad Majestic Shannon. And St. Patrick's Day is around the corner, and what kind of Irishman would I be if I was not promoting that? You know, we had Michael Crowley, County Board Supervisor, as my guest last week, and so we are talking about our shared Irish heritage and how Waukesha doesn't have a, I guess, a very big or very active Irish community. In fact, what I love the most is the one downtown businessman who's perhaps the most Irish of them all, believe it or not, is Dan Italiano, owner of Magellan's. Okay. Yes, he's Italian on his father's side, but he's Irish on his mother's side. And on St. Patrick's Day, he wears this leather apron that's so cool. That it was like a butcher's apron that he got when he was in Ireland many years ago. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of fun there at Magellan's on St. Patrick's Day and a lot of other places. But again, be safe, be responsible, and have fun. You can do all three. So, but Bob, I mentioned Mike Crowley because on this show he had a bombshell announcement, which we love, and that is he announced that he's going to run for mayor when incumbent Sean Riley is ready to step down. And I don't know if that's the end of this term or the next term after that, but you know, we love those special announcements on This Week in Waukesha. Have you any of your own other than the fact that you're running for alderman? I'll give you time. We still have like more than a half hour, so we can. Any good bombshells there? We like to have some fun. So,
but I'm running for president.
There you go. So, well, you know,
I have none. So,
for those of you who aren't like catching the Facebook live stream, Bob has the hair of a candidate. He's got great. If I had Bob's hair, I'd be in the governor's office right now. No disrespect to Governor Evers, but Bob has beautiful hair, full hairline. You know, a candidate's look. So, anyway, on a more, I guess, concrete or less superficial issues. We were starting to talk about some of the hot button. You know, we talked about the chickens, of course, which that I don't know if that'll ever go away. But what are some of the other hot button issues you're focusing on and you want to raise awareness about, or you maybe have a different or a fresh approach to?
Well, most things have been passed, but I mean, as things come up, would be more of the bringing the attention to as issues come up. Water will be ongoing for the longest time.
Yep.
It'll be noted in the Freeman. My biggest concern is just seeing how many apartments are going up instead of like affordable housing stock
and single unit housing
and single unit. I've just seen so many torn down.
Yeah.
Habitat manage, you know, the partnership has been a great thing. I just believe in supporting that wholeheartedly. An old industrial neighborhood where we raised our four kids on the other side of Waukesha, by the Arrowshade location, you know, that being redeveloped into, that affordable housing stock. But unfortunately, affordable housing stock is now, you know, in the $300,000 to $500,000 range, you know.
Well, that's it. And there's another term I learned through my work is when you think of affordable housing, you think maybe lower income families. But there's an even bigger crisis, and that's workforce housing. Yeah. And you think of our first responders, our teachers, heck, maybe even some of our independent small business owners. That impacts them and their ability to buy a home. Yeah. And so, you know, any ideas, especially because you have some professional experience in that space, any experience for how we can promote affordable workforce housing in Waukesha? I know this is a zinger, but, you know.
Yeah. Just through as issues come up, you know, and you know, trying to throttled down, you know, the push for so many apartment buildings and saying, you know, where, you know, finding, you know, locations. And it's part of the development, you know, the planning development from the city to what we do about it. And it, I believe they've addressed it and looked at it. It's been, you know, an issue there, but it's just something that, it's building a tax base. You know, how do we build, you know, the community of Waukesha without it just being apartments, and finding ways to do that, you know?
Yeah. So. Yep, absolutely. So here's another one is it's been very public that City Administrator Kevin Lehner is being courted by the city of Janesville for that city administrator position.
He announced that he's leaving.
Oh, so that's been formal. Okay.
Oh, yeah. If you watched Granicus last time,
he
accepted the position.
I had the inside scoop because I was broadcasting the Waukesha South playoff game against Janesville Parker on Friday. And fortunately, the Blackshirts lost last Saturday to Indian Trail Kenosha, an amazing team. So, you know, congrats on a good season for the Blackshirts. But my counterparts in Janesville had said that he was pretty much the favorite, that he was going to get, you know, the job, that there were a lot of people pulling for him down there. But now that he's gone and there will be a search for a new city administrator, he's leaving, excuse me. Kevin hasn't left yet.
Yeah.
You know, how would you see your roles at all? Like, what's the process you would like to see for finding a successor for Kevin?
Well, I think you might have been in that, your alderman role, when there were some incorrect things that he did. There was questions of, you know, instead of him being disciplined, he got a raise. And so I'd be looking for someone that, like, understands, you know, the role and how to work, I think, better with the community. There was just so many things that and some of that's personal opinion that I'd probably keep to myself, but you know, in going through the interviewing process, making sure, you know, what their skill sets are and understanding and having that personality of being able to meet with customers.
Anastasia, how are we doing on time? I understand we have a caller on hold. We've got 1 minute. Okay. Let's put him on. I believe this is Jared Dable. Jared, can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, Don.
Great. So, Jared, we announced the big news from the WIA. How are you feeling about that? You must be really excited.
I am. I'm hopefully optimistic. There were a couple of teams that are appealing the decision, but I think it's one team per conference, one from the Parkland, one from the Classic Eight. So I don't think that there's going to be too many roadblocks for us up ahead, and looking forward to the 2024 season.
That sounds great. Well, I just, you know, we're coming to a break, so I just wanted to take this moment to thank you for all of your efforts and keep up the good work. And we've got a lot of talk to do about how we're going to navigate this final season in the Classic Eight. So, Jared Dable, thanks for calling in. And, if you think of anything else, call right back. But we're really grateful for your efforts as a super dad and a youth coach. And hopefully we'll see you on the sidelines this fall coaching our kids. So when we return on this week in Waukesha, we've got some great news from Carroll Athletics, as well as more fruitful discussions with Bob Saub, candidate for 2nd District Alderman, when This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. First responders in San Bernardino, California are making heroic rescues in the snow-covered mountains. KCAL TV's Jasmine Vial.
At the San Bernardino County Fire Station in Lake Arrowhead, their fleet of snowcats have been vital in making rescues and putting out fires that no other vehicle can get to.
Federal regulators have shut down the country's 16th largest bank, Silicon Valley Bank. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The FDIC insures accounts up to $250,000, but many clients have far larger deposits that they now can't access.
In Texas, three women are facing legal action for helping another get abortion pills. Sunsara Taylor with RiseUpForAbortionRights.org.
The court filing alleges that in July, Marcus Silva's then-wife concealed her pregnancy and had multiple text exchanges between the women related to obtaining the pills.
She says the action's a violation of women's fundamental rights and fears more prosecutions will follow. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
This is Rocker, and I bet you didn't know I was a realtor. Come down to my open house tailgate party, 8 to 10 Saturday and Sunday mornings in March at Weikert Realtors Lake Point. Enjoy donuts from Zippy Lube and coffee from Ford Craft and Coffee, and let's talk strategy before you head into battle. Find your glory, create a battle plan. Enjoy coffee and donuts every Saturday and Sunday morning in March at Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find us on Facebook or Weikert-LakePoint.com.
The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much. Mm-hmm. I had no supervision.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha, and that's one of my favorite Irish ballads, Fields of Athenry, which has in recent years become a fight song at Irish soccer and rugby games. The fans cheer, they do the chorus line, and it's a story about a young man who gets jailed for stealing corn so he could feed his children during the Irish famine. And it's been kind of a rallying cry for Irish sports fans in the current day. And it's one of my dreams for Waukesha South is that I get the fans to sing the chorus line from Fields of Athenry during the games as a kind of a rally cry. Fits well with our mission there at Southie. But speaking of Waukesha South, I want to mention too is mark your calendars for April 15th, the Waukesha South Booster Club's Raise the Bar annual fundraiser at a new venue, the Stackner Ballroom at Carroll University. And I just want to say that the Waukesha South Booster Club works tirelessly year-round to raise funds or in-kind donations to help financially support 30 diverse clubs with 580-plus participants, drama, music, robotics, and 27 sports with 700-plus athletes annually to benefit all students in extracurricular programs at South. And stats show that students who participate in as little as one club athletic or art achieve higher test scores, GPAs, and overall better mental health. Many extracurricular programs need supplemental or total funding assistance, but we can't do it alone. And I want to say one of the beneficiaries of this effort is the Waukesha South mock trial team, who recently won the state championship, their second in 2 years. Can you say dynasty? Members of the team, including Reed Miller, who was a freshman on the first state championship team, and his mom, Coach Libby, will be my guests on next week's show, along with other members of the team. So you can't miss this show. It's a great group of young kids representing our city. And they're, I believe they're on their way to nationals, so best of luck to them. And we mentioned that Raise the Bar, April 15th, is at the Stackner Ballroom. It's a new venue, and at Carroll University. And so I just, before we return to Bob Selb, candidate for second district alderman, I have a couple amazing announcements from Carroll University Athletics I want to jump to real quick. And that's on March 7th, or no, excuse me, on, well, we'll start with the nationals. Mary Quinn of Carroll University's women's track team and field became the Pioneer's first women's pentathlon national participant on Friday, competing in five events throughout the day. Quinn finished with 3,050 points and finished 19th in the field. Congrats to this senior from Chicago who is pio strong. Quinn, she began her day with 60-mile hurdles, run of 9.30, and then followed up with a sprint with a PR tying performance in the high jump, easily clearing 1.55 meters. So she had quite a day. And then Steve Hermson of Carroll's men indoor track and field team finished in, sorry, I'm having problems with my Google Doc here. Let's go back to Steve here. So, yes, he finished in sixth place in the weight throw at the 2023 National Division III Indoor Track and Field Championships yesterday. He is now a two-time USTF CCCA All-American in the event. Hempson's a grad student from De Pere, and he had one of his best competitions of the season, landing over 18 meters on every attempt. He competes today in the shot put event starting at 11 a.m. So best of luck to Steven and Carol. And then on Wednesday, the Carol women's lacrosse team defeated UW lacrosse 20-11, led by six goals from Clara Jelasic, five goals from Trina Harden, four goals from Rebecca Hallman, two goals from Samantha Hurd, and one goal from Lexi Kaltenberg. One goal each from Lexi, Abby Stoss, and Jenu Patel. Hellman and Kaltenberg each had three assists in this winning effort for the 4-1 Pioneers women's lacrosse team. So pay attention to what's going on over there. So grateful for this new partnership performing with Carroll University here at Walk Radio and Civic Media, and looking forward to broadcasting their football season coming up in the fall and their men's and women's basketball, and more on that in the coming months. Congrats again to Carroll Athletics for a very busy and very sick, very great week, a milestone week, shall we say. So, but we're back here with Bob Selb, candidate for second district alderman, and we are talking about some recent issues you were focusing on. And so, one question, and have I missed anything on that? Did we?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. It was a busy news week, so I'd really put in a lot of other great things, but Alder is a part-time job in theory, but I know from my experience it was closer to a full-time job based on your commitment, your dedication to the city, which you and your wife Lisa currently demonstrate in a lot of your community involvements. But it's always the big question is, how do you balance work life with your aldermanic duties?
Well, part of it, answer that. I was originally going to run against Eric Payne like 6 years ago,
okay,
I would say. Because of having a feeling of, not being represented even going back then. But because of my job situation, it was kind of unknown. So I held off on that. And okay. So then the second time that happened. But I feel like now I'm in a job position that I have that freedom. If I, take a PTO day, whatever, I kind of control my own schedule.
Sure.
And kind of do that. So,
sure.
Besides being involved in the Tower Hill neighborhood, I'm the head of the Springs Committee for the city of Waukesha. It's an unknown, ad hoc committee, but, making sure the springs are, they're, besides the cleanup days, but, facilitating getting Hobo Springs was busted up, helped facilitate getting the funding and getting that restored. Minisca, cleanup and stuff. Acme was busted up, and we got that restored, working on graffiti on that, and working towards other future spring that sure. you know, come to light and be sure. able to do that. So so that's what I say. I'm building community and still part of it in that regards to that. So I balance life. Lisa and I raised our kids early. Mm-hmm. Some age, you know. I have a granddaughter that's
you're
you
young
know,
looking grandpa, yeah.
I have a you know, a 19-year-old granddaughter that's a yeah. freshman in college and down to I have 8 grandkids total with down
wow.
to like a 1-year-old. From 1-year-old to
19. You don't have gray hair on your head either.
I have gray hair there. Oh, it's in there. So,
you do a good job hiding it. I don't see
one. No, it's there. Lisa cuts it out. No.
There you go.
I forgot where I was at with that.
But your family, you know, family's a part of Waukesha.
Oh, yeah. So we raised them earlier. So, we know that there's very few people that get involved. Like, look at, you know, I think there's 5 or 6 aldermen that are up for election and nobody's running against
yeah
them.
That kills me, and I've talked about that a lot on my show.
Yeah, it's nobody takes that time, and it's understandable, you know, people in
we're busy yeah.
in that in my age area, they still have high school kids at home and doing stuff like that, so that's understandable. So like Lisa and I are in a different position where we're afforded to be able to do that,
sure,
take that time and be involved in the community more so yeah. So
it sounds like you could enlist some 2 generations of selves to help with the campaign, with the canvassing. Is that fair to say?
Well, yes, we have one of my daughters is a professional photographer. One's a art director. One's a teacher, but does DJ stuff, right. And then an IT.
You got a creative team, yeah. So you could have a party then with the DJ if
yeah,
you know, if the spirit moved you.
Yeah, that. So
that's great.
I can't afford them, but that's
there you go. I love it. Love it. So, and then you and Lisa have been very deliberate, I would say, on the work you're doing to restore the Blair House. And yep. I know someday the plan is to open it as a B&B. Is that correct?
Yep. It seems longer.
Sure.
But, you know, part of it is when we started removing the ceilings and getting, we thought we'd be able to utilize more stuff that was in there, and it, you know, became evident it wasn't a possibility. So
sure.
It went from, you know, altering some wiring to basically rewiring the whole house through plaster walls and
sure.
Meticulously restoring 12-inch crown molding
sure.
and plaster work and then more plaster work. And,
right.
I just went to Chicago, got certified for historic tuck point
nice.
Training and
okay.
just tuck pointed one of the historic chimneys last fall.
You did it yourself?
Yeah. So,
all right.
So that's part of it. If we would pay contractors, we would be upside, you know, down in a lick of time. You know, it's the house is it's very expensive what it's taking to restore it.
Sure,
time,
sure.
Time and money and more yeah. time than money.
Do you have at this point a timeline for when you'd like, or is that still in the works? Still a lot of work to be done.
We just try to shy away from that. We have no commitments. People thought that was right. there's something.
Yeah,
we had an original game plan of 5 years.
Okay.
Some of my job changes, you know, prevented me from getting much done.
Sure.
But we're back fully on track. Like I say, working for a landscape supply, you'll see it'll be lit up very nicely. I'm certified in landscaping and I have the stuff. We just have to get the trim, you know, on the house painted and fix some of that stuff up. And so it'll, okay. you'll see that
sure.
changes going sure. along.
How are we doing on time, Anastasia? I think you gave me a hand signal and I missed it. 3 minutes. Okay, we had good time. So here's a question that's near and dear to me, Bob.
Okay.
Is Waukesha has a poverty problem. We've got, and when you look at statistically, it matches any other city our size. Like, I believe it's like 11% that live below the poverty line. At least it was when I was older. But I've learned in recent, you know, years that it is more profound than the numbers show. And, you know, what would you as Alder do as a way to help maybe address some of these issues we have with homelessness and poverty? And, you know, I go over to the Waukesha County food pantry where I'm involved, and the line just gets bigger and bigger. And these are families that look like working families. I hate to use the word normal, but families that look, you know, that that they own a home or they've got a decent place to live and they're having a hard time. What can we as a city do at the local level to, you know, help support quality of life for this segment of our population?
Well, certainly not keep raising water costs and taxes. you know, it makes it harder for the cost of living in that regards. One of the, going back to like as being part of the Tower Hill neighborhood and getting involved for the there's CDBG grant funds out there, and as I don't know if you're aware, but
I used to be on the board with Mike Crowley actually.
Okay, yeah, so and there's you know the, a couple different NARSAs that are looking for people like in our neighborhood organization to put together programs to be able to help with those functions. It just it takes some people helping to be able to do that and being creative and coming up with, you know, hey, you know, there's probably, if somebody came up and said, hey, I want to create this program for like the food, you know, share thing, right? There's funds that are available out there to help with those in regards. Mm-hmm. But it takes people to step forward and be able to help with that. So, yeah. As far as me initiating, any specific program, I don't have anything that plans, but, the homeless issue is a concern for me. I don't know what's been done to be addressed with it. When you talk about the poverty level of Waukesha, a lot of those homeless people, now granted, you understand my home location.
Yep.
We, on a regular basis, deal with homeless things within either stuff hidden in our yard or people trying to start a fire in my fire pit and they know you can't, or having a beer party in my front swing thinking that I, you know, it's some, you know, business or
like
something.
Like it's a park, yeah.
And, but most of them aren't from Waukesha. It's not, it's they're coming from different communities because there's some resources here that they don't get elsewhere.
Oh, because our county seat probably. One factor, you know, like, I think.
You know, and I can't speak off of this as being factual, but just people saying there's actually people bust in, you know, they're bust here from other communities and then dropped off. So
I've heard that. Yeah. And I don't know, but I know with our bus system that's, you know, a possibility, but yeah, you know, and that's because I remember from my Chicago days living in Evanston, that was always the solution was, well, take them over to Howard Street, which was the border of Chicago and Evanston. And that's where the police would take any of these, you know, homeless or vague, that if they're more in a problem causing situation, for lack of a better term, that's where they would be sent. And yeah, you're right. Just dropped off there and with a stern warning, don't ever come back. You know, this, that, and the other. And well, you got the L there and you got your 2 feet and, you know, and the bus system. And so, yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a real hard solution. And I know that's a tough question to throw at you with the campaign coming up. But
well, and some of the answers might not be popular, or the solutions might not be popular for some of that, homelessness.
Yeah.
Through my career, I've traveled to New York, you know, I'm sorry.
Let's put a pin in that. When we come back, we're going to finish this conversation with Bob Selve as well as other campaign hot buttons when this Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away.
Thanks. Low lie the field.
It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a high of 36. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Snow likely. Lows dip down to about 29. Snow likely again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 36. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while.
Hey, we're back in This Week in Waukesha, and this is Warren Zevon's Keep Me in Your Heart, the last song he recorded before his unfortunate passing. And finally, he's finally been nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Please do the right thing. Vote for Warren Zevon. It's vote.rockhall.com. And speaking of vote, we've also got Bob Salb here. And before we continue the conversation with Bob, to a little kind of a, I guess, a selfish plug. There's a young man, a young filmmaker with strong ties to Evanston. His favorite uncle was an alderman here. And his name's Davis Brown, and he's got a new movie out on Apple, be released March 31st. You can pre-order on my new Facebook page. It's facebook.com/thisweekinwaukesha. There's a link to pre-order that movie. If you love science fiction, it's called Capsules. Check it out. It was featured and recognized at the Philip Dick Science Fiction Film Festival in New York. And so if you're really looking for something new and innovative, check that out. I've heard great reviews. Can't wait to see it myself. So, but anyway, back to Bob. We were finishing up the conversation on homelessness.
Yeah. So I had opportunity to travel to New York as a prior, pre Ed Koch and post to see what's the difference here. Where it was scary walking down by the Javits Center, basically where the area went to.
I've been to the Javits Center.
The earlier times going there, you were stepping over homeless people, as you walked down the street to get to it. And then going back, and it was just all cleaned up. And I don't know all the ins and outs of the politics of what occurred there, but just saying there is something. And I knew it wasn't totally popular, but
sure.
Came down on and said, we're not doing this anymore. And,
sure.
So there's a solution there. I don't even know if it's been addressed. I haven't seen it in any of the agendas. So that would be one thing.
And so we wanted to take time in this final segment, and we had a good conversation offline about what is it you want people to know about Bob Salb, why voters in District 2 should choose you on April 4th. And, you'd mentioned some of the initiatives that either went through or didn't go through, but the way that the city had framed it, you'd felt. So if you could talk about that.
Well, one is it's still the old Gendusa property being redeveloped, right? We live up above the hill above the old police department. So that area doesn't really affect, our views or anything with us, but it does all the rest of the neighborhood, our neighbors. And it's what's going to be in their backyard? And we got a, neighborhood coalition. And I have to say, in this case, our alderman was very on board with us. And we got 175 votes on a petition.
Yeah.
And, and it could have been a lot more, but that's just about that immediate area saying this is what the constituents felt would be a better solution for going in there.
Yeah.
City staff said there's two options. They were fine with either option according to whether they presented it. And as it went through and it got totally, shot down, they went with high, a 55 or older, higher rent. I mean, originally it was $2,500 a month rent.
Right.
And some of the aldermen, I've quoted this to you before, but I always remember the one alderman saying, I don't care what the constituents think. I'm going to vote what I think is better for the city. And that just stuck with me. And that was just one thing. It's like, wait, you're representing constituents and you don't care what they think. Why are you still an alderman? And I don't think people understand that that's some of the mentality that's in there. And that's why I'm looking to help change some of that, bring influence, negotiation skills.
And I got to say that that's kind of a grievance that I had with many of the alders was that they not only disregarded feedback from neighbors, from people that lived here probably longer than many of them, but the fact that they had kind of predetermined decisions based on what was maybe being felt, you know, fed to them from higher above, or that they wouldn't even take that into consideration. And especially if there was in your district and people not in Alder's not in your district saying, well, we got to look out for the best interest of the city. And I'm like, sometimes the best interest of the city is what's impacting the people that live in those neighborhoods that are more invested in those neighborhoods than they are. And so, yeah, I was really not really pleased with that whole process or outcome, especially since I witnessed, you know, some aldermen involved getting kind of bullied or sweet talked into changing their votes on that. That was all very troubling, I thought.
Well, and as you know, as putting myself in a position of being an alderman, I can look at a situation where you have two constituents, having complete opposite viewpoint as the chicken ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I just think my skill sets and my whole career of being in sales, business ownership, operations management, negotiation skills, I don't think it should just be ignoring one of them and saying, I'm going to go with this one. You have to explain, you know, it's like, you're going to listen to the constituents,
hear people
weigh
out.
It out, hear it out. Yeah. And then almost like a judge and, you know, jury, it's like, make this determination and make sure the person that if you're voting against what their wishes are, explaining to them, why you did. And if you understand that.
I used to intern from a congressman from Michigan who would, he'd always say, let's agree to disagree. Yeah. But a year from now, I guarantee this law will not impact your business. And most of the time he was right. But the fact was is that he at least said, let's agree to disagree. And he helped educate people and he helped explain his position. Whereas we don't get a lot of that. And it's at the local levels where we need that most. And that's what we need. And I think that's why there's only yourself running for, out of six open seats. Is it six or five?
I didn't, but it's about that. Trying to visualize the list. So,
because it's like people kind of give up.
Yep.
And I think in a lot of local, and I don't think this is true in Waukesha especially, but in a lot of local governments, there's that mentality of information given on a need to know basis and kind of keeping people out of the process.
It almost seems intentional when you watching it on Chronicus or being there live and you just kind of question, why aren't you getting your feedback? Why aren't you saying my constituents,
as someone that's an operator, when the great leader's work is done, the people say they did it themselves. And I think it's that input from the people, even if you don't agree with the majority of them, it's including them in the process that makes for better local government. Yeah. So for sure. So,
well, even the water issue, there was the city did it all correctly. They had all these open forums and stuff.
Right. Right.
And I've been to several of those where they have seating for like 50 people and you're sitting amongst two or three people that I'm like, well, if this is such a hot topic, why aren't the citizens there to do it? But they're going to certainly complain about it after the fact.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to help bridge that. I want to get those type of hot topics more out to that information, not just you had to take That's off terrific. Time from work or yep. something to come to this meeting.
Sure. Sounds great. Well, Bob Salb, candidate for 2nd District Alder, thanks for joining us today. Bob was a South parent and a Carroll University parent, so deep ties in the community. Check out Bob. I believe you have a Facebook page, right?
Yep.
So, and I hope to have Eric Payne on as a guest in the next 2 weeks. We've got the state champion mock trial team coming on next week. Please don't forget to elect Warren Zevon to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's vote.rockhall.com. Do the right thing. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. And enjoy this beautiful Saturday. Bob Salb, thanks again. Please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, especially with St. Patrick's Day coming up. Have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day. It's on a Friday, so make a week out of it. Make a weekend. And we'll see you next time in This Week in Waukesha. See ya!
Comes around again. And I sit and sing my song. Though it never seems to matter.
March 15th. March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of the 50% off on our Civic Media Premium Weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season,
From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season, and of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.